إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our fifth session reading from Minhaj Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah fil Aqeedah wal Amal, yani the methodology of Ahl Sunnah concerning creed and actions, by Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen rahimahullah. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to try to complete what the Shaykh has presented. What remains from the first point, that is the Minhaj of Ahl Sunnah or Bayan Tariqat Ahl Sunnah, as it relates to the Asma Allah wa Sifati. Tonight, inshallah, we're going to try to complete what remains, what the Shaykh has said concerning the Sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before that, we're going to quickly review a few of the points that we mentioned last week. In question and study guide number 4, the first question being, discuss the first qaida mentioned by the author, rahimahullah, concerning the sifat of Allah. The first qa'idah mentioned by the author concerning the sifat, the characteristics, the descriptions or qualities of Allah. Naam, Abdul Haq.
Amma sifat, fa innana la nasifu Allah illa bima wasafa bihi nafsahu sawa'an kanat as-sifa sawa'an سواء ذكر الصفة
بدون أن يتسمى
بما دلت عليه أو كانت الصفة مما دلت عليه أسماؤه، فإنه يجب علينا أن نؤمن بهذه الصفة على حقيقتها.
طيب، summary of the first point that the Shaykh makes, rahimahullah, is that related to the sifat of Allah, is that we do not describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with any description except that which He has described Himself with, or that which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have described Him with. Whether it is a sifa from those sifat of Allah that there's no name related to it, Allah is not named with a name that sifa points to, or if it is a sifa that is actually derived from one of the names of Allah, whether it is of this type or that type, we believe in that sifa ala haqiqatiha, yani as it is in reality. All of the sifat of Allah, yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself with, or that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described Him with, came in the Quran or in the Sunnah, then we describe Allah only with those descriptions, and we understand them, we believe in them, yani as they are in reality. And we might add, as the Shaykh said further on, yani down the line, that we believe in them as they are in reality in a manner that is befitting of Allah's greatness and His glory and His majesty. And we don't make any comparison between the sifat of Allah and His creation, yani, or in any of those other areas, yani tashbih or tamthil or ta'til or tahrif, yani we don't distort their meanings and so on. Naam. Second question, discuss the distinction between sifat of Allah which are contained within His names and those which are not. Yani two types of sifat. Naam, Ibrahim al-Fulani. Al-Bari. Al-Fulani, now, Al-Fulani.
Every name points to Sifa of Allah. For example, if you are Rahman, the Sifa is described from it in Rahman.
Okay.
Not every Sifa points to a name. For example, if you are Al-Istiwa, it's a Sifa of Allah. So there is no name of Allah as example of sin and most of.
Okay. So every name does point to a sifa of Allah, but not the opposite. Not every sifa, yani, indicates that Allah has a name that's related to that. And therefore, in that sense, I think what I understand you're saying then is that the sifat of two types, those which are derived from Allah's names, and those which don't have any name related to them. Yani, don't point to any name, nor are they derived from a name. Now, I hope that's clear, inshallah. Tayyib. Give an example of a sifa of Allah which is not directly indicated in one of His names. And memorize the ayah, yani 20th surah, 5th ayah. 20th surah, 5th ayah. We're going to go to Murshid.
One of the ones that's not indicated, the ascension of Allah.
The ascension of Allah. One of the sifat of Allah that is not derived from the names of Allah, from not derived from any name of Allah, is al-istiwa, the ascension. Allah's ascending high, yani, above His throne, His ascension, His highness. Naam. Ayat. Anybody know the ayah for this? Naam. Ar-Rahman ala al-Arsh istawa. What is the meaning? Somebody else. What is the meaning of this ayah? What is the meaning? Naam.
Ar-Rahman the most merciful.
Ar-Rahman the most merciful?
The throne ala al-Arsh istawa. He ascended.
He ascended above the throne, yani in a manner befitting of His Majesty and His greatness and His glory. Tayyib, third question. Mention the famous statement of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, concerning istiwa, ascension or highness of Allah. The famous statement, yani, the statement that is mashhoor from Imam Malik. I love the mashhoor. Naam, Umar. Okay, al-istiwa'u ma'lumun. Wal-kayfu majhulun.
Wal-iman bihi wajibun.
Wa-su'al anhu bid'a. Okay, somebody else tell me the meaning of this. First part, now. The ascending, the ascension of Allah is known. Yani we know what yani istiwa means. In the second part, naam.
And the how is ascended, what al-kayf, how is ascended is majhool.
But the how of it, yani the description, the comprehension of exactly how did Allah ascend, how does Allah ascend, yani that is unknown, majhool, it's unknown. And the third part, naam, yaam, Mustafa.
Wasu'aluhu bid'a.
Wasu'al anhu bid'a. That's the fourth part.
Al-imanu bihi wajibun.
Wal-iman bihi wajibun. Yani believing in it, in this istiwa, in the way that's befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is obligatory upon us. Why is it obligatory upon us? Why is it obligatory upon us? Why is it obligatory upon us to believe that Allah istawa ala al-arsh? Because Allah said it in the Quran, and the Prophet ﷺ also confirmed in an authentic hadith. And the last part of the statement of Imam Malik, now. And asking about it is bid'ah. Why is it bid'ah, ya Abdul Qawi? Naam, because asking about it is not something that the people of the early generations, the Salaf, this is not something that they did. They didn't ask, how was Allah's ascension? And since this is a religious matter, then whoever does something in the religion different than what we found the Prophet ﷺ and his companions upon, and the first generation of the Muslim upon, then this is innovation. So this question, asking how, nobody asked about it. The Prophet ﷺ, yani, he didn't have anybody come to him and ask him, how is this istiwa? So therefore, yani, to ask about it is yani, unacceptable. The next question, question number 5, mentioned the statement of Imam Malik rahimahullah concerning istiwa, which is transmitted by isnad. Yani the statement of Imam Malik as it was transmitted by isnad. Yani Suleiman.
Al-istiwa ghayru majhool.
Wal-kayf ghayru ma'qool. وَالْإِمَانْ بِهِ وَاجِبٌ وَالسُّؤَالْ عَنْهُ بِدَى. Okay, the first part of what he said, first part of this statement, now.
الْإِسْتِوَاءَ غَيْرُ مَجْهُولٍ.
الْإِسْتِوَاءَ غَيْرُ مَجْهُولٍ, meaning?
The ascension of Allah
It's not something, the ascension of Allah, sending of Allah is not something unknown in the Arabic language. Yani istiwa is known, what it means in Arabic language, to the people who know language. Now, second statement.
وَالْكَيْفَ غَيْرُ مَعْقُولُ.
And the how of Allah's ascension is not, cannot be known by way of the intellect. Yani a person cannot use their mind, their brain, and think through it and figure out how did Allah ascend. Naam. And the last part of it is the same. Yani believing in it is obligatory and asking about it is innovation. And the last question concerning these two statements of Imam Malik, discuss the difference between these two statements as they relate to the how of Allah's istiwa. The difference between them as it relates to the how. Yani first, to explain the difference, what did Imam Malik say in the love al mashhur Ibrahim? He said al kayf majhul, and in the love that is yani nuqila anhu bis sanad ghayru ma'qul. Okay, so in one place is narrated that he said the istiwa of Allah, yani it's known, but the how of it is unknown. In this statement he said the how of it is not possible to be known by the aql, by the intellect. It's not possible to know it. And therefore, yani the Shaykh said this second expression is adaqqu, yani it's more yani precise and exact, and it brings us a benefit that's of great importance. Now what is it? Okay. Now, something that's unknown doesn't mean it can't be known. Now, but if it's غير معقول, can't be known, then that's different. Okay. So the Sheikh also added to this a statement. He said, "Now."
But the Sheikh was mentioning that we know things by nafl, by revelation.
Okay.
And also by aql.
Now, there are two ways to know something: by revelation or by the intellect. People use their mind to learn, right? Or, yani that which the mind can't teach us, then we learn by revelation from Allah.
But since he was not revealed by revelation, how, and also we cannot know by the mind.
Okay, so since there's no revelation telling us the how of Allah's istiwa, and here we came to know that it's not possible to even find out or to learn it by the intellect, therefore both ways of knowledge have been negated. Yani the dalil aqli and the dalil naqli, yani the wahi, if both of them are absent, then the Shaykh said then it is not possible. Naam. Naam, fa'innahu la yumkinu at-takallumu bihi, yani bi al-kayf, kayfiyah. Yeah, naam. As we used to say to the children a long time ago, they're all grown now, mashallah. These are some of the points that we discussed last week, and the last point that we were making last week as we ran out of time was the statement where the Shaykh was saying, and I read it a little bit quickly near the end. I said we'll come back to the statement. Yani, by the way, today inshallah we're reading in Arabic from page 7, from the bottom paragraph of page 7 and to the end of the section dealing with sifat. And in English, you know, we stopped on page 17, and after that, yani the rest of what the Shaykh mentioned in the Arabic text is absent. Yani it's mahdhuf, we don't have it. So after page 17, we don't have anything in the English translation. We're just going now by the Arabic on the bottom of page 7, the bottom paragraph. The Shaykh said, هذه sifa. Yani this sifa. Which sifa? The sifa of istiwa. He said, for example, like he said, there are two types of sifat, right? Those sifat which are directly derived from the name of Allah, as the brother mentioned, Allah's name Ar-Rahman, so from the sifa from that is Ar-Rahma. Al-Alim, the sifa from that is Al-Ilm, knowledge. Al-Hakim, the sifa from that is Hikmah. So we know that there are sifat that come directly from the names of Allah, and then the Shaykh said there are other sifat that have no name related to them, yani a description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he's not named by any name that is related to that. So here the Shaykh begins to talk about the second type of sifa, the sifa where there's no name that's related to it. And he said, al-istiwa, he gave for example, and then he gave us what Imam Malik said about istiwa and not knowing the how of it. Then he went on to say here, هذه السفة من صفات الله تعالى لم يرد اسم من أسماء الله مشتق منها. Yani this particular sifa, and there are others like it, He said, there is no name from the names of Allah that has been derived from this sifa, that is connected to it, that is related to it. فَلَمْ يَرِدْ مِنْ أَسْمَائِهِ الْمُسْتَوِيِ. So it has not come to us that from the names of Allah is the one who ascends, al-mustawi. That's not a name of Allah. But, yani, the description of Allah as ascending has definitely been confirmed in the Qur'an in many places. So the Shaykh says, no name. Allah has not been named with such a name that's related to this sifa. لَكِنَّنَا نَقُولُ إِنَّهُ إِسْتَوَى عَلَى الْأَرْشِ وَنُؤْمِنُ بِهَذِهِ السِّفَةِ عَلَى الْوَجْهِ اللَّاحِقِ بِهِ. This is a very important statement. I read it last week. Just want to go back to it a little bit. He said, Allah doesn't have any name like this. However, we describe Him by saying, yes, He has rose high above His arsh, and we believe in this description, this characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, عَلَى الْوَجْهِ اللَّاحِقِ بِهِ. And we believe in it in the manner that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is befitting of Allah. And we cannot imagine that description to be understood in any way that's not befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His greatness and His glory and His majesty. But we understand it in a way that's befitting, that's suitable, that's appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the worlds. Here is where I wanted to go back to, because yani, in the footnote there are some examples mentioned. I'll just mention a few of them just yani, to give some clarification to this particular issue. The issue of what? The sifat that have been given to us, that have been came in the Qur'an or came authentically reported from the Prophet ﷺ. There are many sifat that Allah doesn't have any name related to them. So, for example, from the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-maji'u, yani coming, al-ityanu, also by the meaning of coming, al-akhdhu, to take hold of something, al-imsaqu, to hold back something, al-batshu, to grip something for punishment, and other than that. These are some of the descriptions that have been mentioned in the footnote. We can add to them that the yadain, the two hands of Allah, the wedge of Allah, His face, and so on. And He came in authentic narrations, either in the Quran or in the Sunnah. Then he said, yani, these types of descriptions that came in the Quran, for example, al-maji'u, coming, the coming of Allah came in the 89th surah of the Quran, Surah Al-Fajr, ayat 22, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Rabb, He has been described as coming. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ. And in the second surah, Surah Al-Baqarah, 210th ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself by saying, هَلْ يَنظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ فِي ذُلَلٍ مِّنَ الْغَمَامِ. يعني, are they waiting for anything except that Allah will come, يَأْتِيهُمُ اللَّهِ, Allah will come to them in the shadows of the clouds. Yani, يَأْتِيَهُمْ, this is the description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His coming. In the third surah, Surah Ali Imran, 11th ayat, فَأَخَذَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ, that Allah took them, took hold of them, He seized them, yani, for their sins, yani, to punish them for their sins. And then they mention other descriptions from amongst them, Surah Al-Baqarah also, second surah, 185th ayat, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Yani, that Allah wants, Allah intends for you ease. He does not want, He does not intend for you difficulty. He does not intend for you difficulty. And likewise, the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said in an authentic narration, يَنْزُرُ رَبُّنَا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا, that our Rabb, He descends to the سَمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا, to the heaven that's closest to the dunya, yani the lowest heaven. And this is reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. So it is said that, so we describe Allah with these sifat that have been mentioned in the Quran or in the Sunnah. عَلَى الْوَجْهِ الْوَارِدِ وَلَا نُسَمِّهِ بِهَا. We describe Allah in the way, we describe Allah with these descriptions in the way that they have been reported to us, how they came to us in the Quran and the way that they came to us in the Sunnah, without naming Him with names that are based upon them. So we do not say, or you should not say, that from the names of Allah is Al-Ja'i, yani the one who comes, or Al-Ati, the one who is coming, or Al-Akhir, the one who seizes, or Al-Murid, the one who wants or intends, or Al-Nazil, the one who descends. Yani, we do not make up names for Allah from these sifat, although they are confirmed as descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but if there is no proof that that Allah has names as such that came in the Quran or in the Sunnah, then we don't name Allah with every description that we confirm for Him. So we inform, Yani we explain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani has these descriptions and we describe him with them without naming him with these descriptions. After this, the Shaykh says, back to our topic of يعني الاستواء. وَنَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَعْنَى الْإِسْتِوَى هُوَ الْعُلُوُ. And we know that the meaning of استواء is العُلُوُ. The meaning of استواء is العُلُوُ, يعني being high. فَهُوَ. But what type of عُلُوُ is this? The Shaykh says, فَهُوَ عُلُوٌ خَاصٌ بِالْعَرْشِ. This highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this عُلُوُ of Allah, is particular and special to the arsh of Allah. لَيْسَ الْعُلُوَ الْمُطْلَقِ. It is not the absolute highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is also described with, of being high above everything of His creation, everything that He has created. Yani Allah is high above everything in the creation. But this ulu that we meet, that is intended by this description of istiwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not al-ulu al-mutlaq. Allah is high, yani which is one of His permanent, yani sifat al-dhatiya, that Allah is high above the creation. This yani description of ulu is a description of Allah's action, of Allah ascending above the arsh particularly. So the Shaykh said, this is a description of ulu that's particular to the arsh. It is not Allah, the ulu, the description of Allah's ulu that is absolute over all of the creation. So we say that it is ulu khas, a special highness that's related to His arsh. And for this reason, in terms of the saying of Allah, the Most High, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 54th Ayat, ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, yani, and then He ascended above, high above the arsh, yani, in a way that's befitting of His majesty and His greatness and His glory. A way, yani, that is suitable and appropriate to be ascribed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, the Shaykh said, this means, yani, this istiwa ala al-arsh, it is ala wastaqarra, that Allah rose high above and He established Himself above the throne. The Shaykh says, and this is a very important point here, yani, ala wastaqarra, ala wajhin yaliqu bi jalalihi wa azamatihi. Ala wajhin yaliqu bi jalalihi wa azamatihi. Yani that we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rose above the throne in a manner that is befitting of His majesty and His greatness. Not in a manner that is suitable for the created beings, but rather in a manner that's befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of Allah's greatness and His glory and His majesty. And then the Shaykh says, yani this is how we understand the istiwa ala al-arsh. Yani we understand it in a way that's suitable for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَيْسَ كَاِسْتِوَى الْإِنسَانِ عَلَى الْبَعِيرِ وَالْكُرْسِي مَثَلًا. For example, it is not like the istiwa of the human being who rises upon the camel or gets upon a chair. لأن الاستواء على البعير والكرسي, يعني for the insan, استواء مفتقر إلى مكانه الذي يستوي عليه. Because the استواء of the human being getting up on top of the camel or sitting upon a chair is استواء مفتقر, مفتقر, يعني the استواء of the one who is in need of the place that he has gotten upon, that he has sat upon, or that he has rose upon. This is the istiwawa of the one who is in need, muftaqirin ila makanihi, to that place, he is in need of that place that he has gotten up upon. Wa amma istiwa' Allah jalla dhikruhu fa innahu laysa istiwa'u muftaqirin. But as far as the istiwa of Allah, whose yani glorified is His mention, it is not the istiwa of one who is in need. Rather, indeed, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is ghani, is without need of anything. Yani, everything is in need of Allah, and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is free of need of everything. This is the difference between, yani, in reference to istiwa of Allah, yani how it is not like the istiwa of a created being, of a human being or otherwise, that it's different. Because the human being, in his rising upon something, he gets up on it to carry him or to hold him or to sit upon it, to rest upon it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is without need of any of that. So here the Shaykh has just given an example of how the description that might be applied to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is different than the same description as applies to any created being, human or otherwise. It's different. And every sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that might be ascribed to any created being, we have to understand it in the way that's befitting of Allah. And that it is not like that same description when it's applied to any created being. Because what? There's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So no description of any created being can be like the same description as it applies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here in the footnote, I'll refer to the footnote 13 and summarize it. Yani it's mentioned that it is well known that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the whole yani universe. And some of it, some parts of the universe are above other parts. But He didn't make the higher parts to be in need of those which are below it. He didn't make those which the higher parts of creation to be in need of, to be dependent upon that which is below it. For example, the air is above the earth, but the air is not in need of the earth to hold it up. The clouds are above the earth. Clouds are not in need of the earth to hold it up. The skies are above the earth, but they are not in need of the earth to hold them up. Though they are above it, they are not dependent upon that which is below it to hold it up. So Al-Ali, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the High. Al-A'la, the Most High. Rabbu kulli shayn wa malikuhu, the one who is the Lord of everything and the owner of everything. If He is above His creation, how is it that somebody can imagine that He is in need of the creation that He is above, in need of His arsh, that He is dependent upon it in any kind of way? How is it that people make it necessary that the ulu of Allah above His creation means that He is in need of that which He is above? Requires that He be in need of the creation that He is above. When it is well known that if some parts of the creation are above other parts and not in need of it, then Allah is ahakku wa awla. Yani Allah has more right to not be in need of that which of His creation that He is above. So whoever claims that Allah is in need of the arsh, yani to lift him or to raise him or to carry him, فَقَدْ أَسَاءَ بِرَبِّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, then this person has committed an evil act against or towards his Rabb. فَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى غَيْرُ مُفْتَقِرٍ إِلَى شَيْءٍ مِنْ مَخْلُقَاتِهِ بَلْ جَمِيعُ مَخْلُقَاتِهِ مُفْتَقِرٍ إِلَيْهِ. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of anything that He has created, of His created beings, though all of the created beings are in need of Him. Then the Shaykh goes to another example of the same thing, of one of the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is not derived from a name, that is not connected to a name, a description of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a sifa that Allah is described with, yet He doesn't have any name that is related to this particular description. He said, وَكَذَلِكَ أَنُّزُولِ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا, and likewise, Allah's descending to the heaven, the lowest heaven that is above the earth, حينما يبقى ثلث الليل الآخر, يعني when the last third of the night remains, يعني at the last third of the night, Allah descends to the sama' dunya. He said, we believe in it, يعني Allah is descending, His nuzul, على أنه نزول حقيقي, we believe that Allah is descending, is a real descending, that He descends in reality, يعني it's not something to be interpreted, or its meaning to be distorted, or to be given comparison to anything in the creation, or examples by anything in the creation, and it's not permissible for us to empty it from its meaning, to negate it or to deny it. Rather, we accept it as it is in reality without attempting to explain the kayf of it. The Shaykh says, we believe in it as nuzul haqiqi. He really descends. لَكِنَّهُ يَلِيكُ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَيُشْبِهُ نُزُولَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ, yani we believe in it that He really descends. نُزُولَ حَقِيقِي. However, لَكِنَّهُ يَلِيكُ بِاللَّهِ, but it is a descending that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَيُشْبِهُ نُزُولَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ, it is not similar to, it does not resemble, it is not like the descending of any of the created beings that descend from anything. That descending of the created beings has no resemblance, no likeness, no similarity to the descending of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the descriptions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described himself with, or the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described them with, are descriptions that have to be understood as they are in reality. The way we understand them in reality in the Arabic language, without making a comparison between those descriptions of Allah and descriptions, same descriptions that apply to human beings. Rather, those descriptions should be understood in a way that is befitting of the greatness and the glory and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, also I'm going to refer to a footnote of a benefit, the footnote number 14 in the Arabic book. It says, قال الإمام ابن عبد البر رحمه الله, one of the great scholars of the people of Sunnah, from the Maliki Madhab, a scholar of Hadith, and a scholar of Sunnah, and Imam Ibn Abd al-Barr, rahimahullah, he said in his book, his famous, amazing book, At-Tamheed, explanation of Muwatta of Imam al-Malik. He says in volume 7, page 143, بعد إرادته حديث النزول, after he mentioned the hadith of Allah's descending to the lowest heaven and earth, he said, الذي عليه جمهور أهل السنة والجماعة, that which the jumhur of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, this is the words of Ibn Abdul Barr, Imam Ibn Abdul Barr, he said, that which the jumhur, the majority of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is upon, أنهم يقولون ينزلوا كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ويصدقون بهذا الحديث ولا يكيفون. Yani the majority of the scholars of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they say that Allah descends just as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and they believe in it. Yani they believe in this hadith describing the descending of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَا يُكَيِّفُونَ, and they don't attempt to explain the how of Allah's descension. This is what? This was the, yani the manhaj, or the position, or the, yani the view of the jumhur, majority of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Then Ibn Abdul Barr, Imam Ibn Abdul Barr rahimahullah says, وَالْقَوْلْ فِي كَيْفِيَةِ النُّزُولِ كَقَوْلْ فِي كَيْفِيَةِ الْإِسْتِوَاءِ وَالْمَجِيءِ وَالْحُجَّةُ فِي ذَلِكَ وَاحِدَةٌ. Yani what we say concerning the how, the kayfiyah of Allah's descending, is the same thing that we say related to the how of Allah's ascending, or Allah's coming. And the hujjah, the proof for our position and what we are saying, is one proof. It's the same proof. The same proof we use to say that, yani the ascension of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani that we don't have the ability to explain the how of it, then the same thing we say about Allah's descending, about Allah's coming, and any other of the descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a very important point. Why? Because this is not something that the later day people made up. Like some people want to say, these people came with a new religion. The people who came with the Quran and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf, the way the companions of the Prophet ﷺ understood it, the other people, especially in the Muslim lands, in Africa and Asia and even in the Arab countries, they say these people came with something new. We didn't know this because their understanding of Islam was distorted and twisted. So when people came with the truth, the correct aqidah, they said they're coming with a new religion. Not so. And one of the proofs of that is that Ibn Abdul Barr, a famous well-known scholar accepted by the Sufis and the others of them from the Maliki Madhab, they know he's a major scholar from their Madhab, and they listen to what he says, and they use him as a source and an authority. And he's saying that this is the view of the Jumhur, the overwhelming majority of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is how all of the scholars of the past and the people of Sunnah, this is how they understood it. No, you are the people who came with the new religion. This is the way it was in the time of the companions of the Prophet and the generations that followed them. And likewise, we also might say that yani some of these scholars, mashallah, even in the matters of fiqh, they have brought to us some matters of fiqh, they have confirmed for us some matters of fiqh, that the people of today from their madhab, from Maliki madhab, from Shafi'i madhab, from Hanbali madhab, from Hanafi madhab, that they have deviated upon today. But if we look at the earlier scholars from those madhab, especially those who are from the Ahl Hadith, then we'll see that in the matters of fiqh as well as in the matters of aqidah, that there's agreement, basic agreement amongst the people of Sunnah, especially in the matters of aqidah. After this the Shaykh says, وَمِنْ هُنَا نَقُولُ إِنَّهُ يَجِبُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ أَنْ يَتَحَاشَى أَمْرًا يُلْقِيهِ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي بَالِهِ أَمْرًا خَطِيرًا لِلْغَايَةِ وَهُوَ أَمْرٌ حَمَلَ أَهْلُ الْبِدْعَةِ على تحريف النصوص من أجل هذا الأمر الذي يجعله الشيطان في قلوب الناس. يعني the Sheikh said what, that here, from here we say, based on what we have said so far, it is obligatory then for the believer, the mu'min, if you are a believer, person who believes in the Quran and in the Sunnah, it is obligatory upon the mu'min to avoid, to stay away from, to abstain from, yani to distance oneself from an affair that shaitan has placed in the mind of the people, an extremely dangerous affair, an affair that caused the people of innovation to commit distorting, yani tahrif al-nusus, caused them to, yani to distort the textual evidences, yani related to the sifat of Allah. They distorted it because of what? An idea that came from shaitan into their mind, or as the Shaykh said, يَجَعَلُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ فِي قُلُوبِ النَّاسِ. He has put it into the hearts of the people. أَلَا وَهُوَ تَخَيُّلْ قَيْفِيَةِ صِفَةٍ مِّن صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ أَوْ تَخَيُّلُ قَيْفِيَةِ ذَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزُّ وَجَلَّ. That is, that a person came from shaitan, that a person imagines, begins to imagine in their mind the how of a sifa, a characteristic from the characteristics of Allah. Or the how is the that of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, himself, itself. How is it? How is Allah's person? How is Allah's descriptions? Yani shaitan placed that into the mind of the people, into the hearts of the people, to begin to imagine how it could be. Knowing the danger that if they began to imagine what it would lead to. The Shaykh says, so know that indeed it is not permissible ever to imagine kayfiyat dhatillah. How is the that, the self of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Kayfiyat sifatin min sifati. Or how is any sifa, any characteristic from the characteristics of Allah, is not permissible abadan, la yujuz abadan. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّكَ إِن تَخَلَّيْتَ تَخَيَّلْتَ. That if you imagine, or you attempt to imagine, yani about the sifa of Allah, how is it? Then indeed, la budda an taqa'a fi ahad al mahdhurain. Then indeed, you must inevitably fall into one of the two prohibited matters. To one of two prohibited matters. And whoever imagines how is the sifa, any sifa of Allah, or attempts to imagine that, then they inevitably must fall into one of two prohibited matters. Imma tahrif wa ta'atil wa imma tamthil wa tashbih. Yani either they will fall into distorting the sifat of Allah or denying them outright. Yani both of them are related to one another, distorting and denying. Yani if you distort it, then you have denied its reality. Or you will fall into tamthil wa tashbih. Yani making examples in order to explain the how of Allah's sifat. Or making comparisons, tashbih. Yani making some resemblance between the sifa of Allah and that same sifa as it relates to anything in the creation, human or otherwise. And these two last expressions, the tamthil and tashbih, are similar, and as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, yani they are sometimes used interchangeably, and sometimes you can make a distinction between them. He said the distinction between them is that tamthil, making an example, means taswir fi kulli as-sifat. Yani means that you are making the sifa of Allah equal with an example of something in the creation in all of its aspects, in every aspect. That's tamthil, that you are making it similar or the same. And tashbih means taswiya fi akthar sifat, yani that you are saying that they are equal or similar in most of the aspects of the description of that thing. So these are almost the same, making examples and making comparisons, except that yani tamthil is more yani exact in trying to say that this is an example that's exactly like the sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the other one, tashbih, means that it resembles it in most of its aspects, though not in all of it. It is for this reason that if a person begins to imagine the how of any sifa of the sifat of Allah, that they will fall into one of these areas, yani tahrif, distorting that characteristic's reality, or ta'atil, yani denying it outright. You either fall into that, or you will fall into making comparisons or examples in order to explain the how of the sifa of Allah. It is for this reason that it is obligatory upon you, O brothers, that you must never imagine anything from the yani that is related to the how of the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jalla. La aqulu la tuthbitu al-mana. I'm not saying that you do not confirm the meaning of the sifat of Allah. I'm not saying that you do not confirm the meaning. Because the meaning, it is obligatory to confirm the meaning of the sifat of Allah. We know, yani, al-istiwa ma'lum. We know what it means, and we must confirm its meaning. But what are you saying? That, but do not what? Do not, yani, try to imagine the how of it. Affirm its meaning without trying to imagine, well, how is it? Just how is that ascension? How is that descension? How is Allah's face? How are Allah's hands? Yani, the attempt to imagine this is prohibited. The affirmation of the meaning of it in Arabic language is mandatory. But what is prohibited? What? Is to try to explain the how of it. Because the meaning is obligatory to affirm. However, imagining the how of that particular sifa, whichever one it might be. La yumkin. It is not possible that you imagine it. Rather, on what basis will you be able to, yani, what will you use as an analogy to imagine how the sifat of Allah? In comparison to what? In comparison to what? In the creation. Because there's no comparison between Allah and anything in the creation. La yumkin abadan. It is not possible at all to imagine the how, the kayfiyah of the sifat of Allah Azza wa Jalla. La bittaqdeer wa la bilqawl. Yani, you cannot imagine it in your mind, trying to imagine how it would be, to estimate how it would be, nor by speech, trying to describe it with speech. This is not, yani, possible. La yumkin abadan. To imagine the kayfiyah of the sifat of Allah, not in your mind nor with your speech. Therefore, it is obligatory upon you to avoid this affair. لِأَنَّكَ Because you are تُحَاوِلُ مَا لَا يُمْكِنْ الْوُصُولِ إِلَيْهِ You are trying to do something that you will never be able to achieve, that you can't reach the how of Allah's sifat. You are trying to do something that you will never arrive at, yani, your destination. Rather, you are trying to do something تُحَاوِلْ مَا يُخْشَى مَا يُخْشَى أَنْ يُوقِعَكَ فِي أَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ لَا تَسْتَطِيعُ الْخَلَاصِ مِنْهُ إِلَّا بِسُلُوكِ التَّمْثِيلِ وَالتَّعْطِيلِ Rather, you are doing something that it is feared will be the cause of you falling into a tremendous matter, a tremendous affair that you will not be able to get away from, that you will not be able to get out of except by traveling the path of تَمْثِيلِ وَتَعْطِيلِ Yani, making examples, the only way you get out of it, you will make an example. That this sifa is, yani, like such and such thing. As for example, it's like this. Or, yani, what that will lead to is ta'atil, emptying it of its actual meaning, of the reality of this as it is understood, its meaning understood in the Arabic language. The reason for this, that you will fall into an affair that you will not be able to escape from, except by engaging in these affairs that are prohibited. Yani, so here, yani, the Shaykh is saying that this is a very dangerous affair that comes from Shaitan. He placed it into the minds of the people, or he put it into the hearts of the people to try to imagine. Yani, when you read in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a face, yani, the Shaytan has suggested to the people, try to imagine, how is Allah's face? This is something, he said, that will cause you to fall into these dangerous areas that you will not have any escape from, except that you will end up making examples for Allah. Or comparisons of Allah to something in the creation. Or you will end up, what? Distorting the meaning to give it some other kind of meaning that you can imagine than what it's like. Or you will just empty it of its meaning, yani, which means denial, ta'atil. The Shaykh said, this is a dangerous affair. That's not permissible in any situation or circumstance. It's not permissible for us to imagine how are the sifat of Allah. Rather, we confirm the meaning that's known in the Arabic language, and that is sufficient for us. We confirm it in a way that is befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's majesty. We confirm it ala haqiqatiha, in its reality, ala zahiriha, as it appears to be in the Arabic language, and without making comparisons, tashbih, or tamthil, making examples, without making tahrif, yani distorting them, or making ta'wil, false interpretations, or ta'atil, emptying of its meaning, denying it. Without these things, yani without doing these things, we understand it in the way that it appears to be its real meaning in the Arabic language, in a way that's befitting of the majesty and greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh says, yani, this will cause a person to fall into these dangerous areas if you begin to do this. And then finally he says in closing, ذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الرَّبْ لِأَنَّ الرَّبْ جَلَّتْ عَظَمَتُهُ لَا يُمْكِنْ لِأَحَدٍ أن يتخيله على كيفية معينة. And that is, why is it that inevitably you fall into these areas of tamthil and ta'atil? That is because our Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني glorified is His greatness. لا يمكن, it's not possible for anyone to imagine Him على كيفية معينة. يعني to imagine Him to, يعني in a specific manner, with a specific, in a specific detailed manner, a specific, يعني form or shape or fashion or description. It's not possible for a person to imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, any of His sifat, to be in any specific manner. لِأَنَّهُ إِنْ فَعْلَ ذَلِكَ, because if a person were to do that, يعني to imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat to be in a particular manner, فَقَدْ قَفَى مَا لَيْسَ لَهُ بِهِلْمٍ, and then in that case, يعني he has يعني spoken about or acted upon or followed that which he has no knowledge of. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani because he doesn't know, we don't have any knowledge of the kayfiyah of Allah's sifat. Allah hasn't revealed, and the aql is not capable of determining that. Therefore, if a person does that, try to imagine Allah in a particular manner, a specific manner, then that person has spoken about, has thought about, has asserted that of which they have no knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Isra, 36 ayat, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِعِلْمٍ, and do not speak about, do not act upon, do not follow or pursue that of which you have no knowledge. That is, if you try to imagine Allah in a specific manner. وَإِن تَخَيَّلَهُ, and if a person imagines Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala عَلَى وَصْفٍ مُقَارِبٍ بِمَثِيلٍ فَقَدْ مَثَّلَ اللَّهِ, and if a person attempts to imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in, with a description, يعني وصفا مقاربا بمثيل, يعني a description that is, يعني its meaning is brought near by a مثيل, that which is like Allah, that which they claim to be equal to, or like or similar to Allah, يعني a مثل, يعني a مثيل, يعني something that they claim to be like Allah, and therefore they describe Allah in this way, they imagine Allah, يعني His description, يعني to be understood based on the مثيل, that which is similar to Allah, then in that case the Shaykh says, then they have actually made an example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that there is nothing like Him. So you can't make a mathil, يعني for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because what? There's nothing like Him while He is السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, even though He is, يعني the one who is named with the name As-Sami', the one who is all-hearing and who has the description of hearing, and He is Basir, the one who is all-seeing and He has the description of Basar, seeing, yet His hearing and His seeing is not like the hearing and seeing of anything in the creation. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayat. Then the Shaykh closes by saying, وَبِهَذَا نَعْلَمْ, وَبِهَذَا, based upon this, and that we cannot imagine Allah to be in a specific manner, nor can we make an example of anything in the creation that we said is like Allah. And we say Allah is like this. Because nothing is like Allah. There's nothing like Him. While He is, yes, He is As-Sami' al-Basir. He does have hearing and seeing. But His hearing and seeing, yani, is a hearing and seeing that's befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, His majesty, His divinity. Yani, there's no comparison and there's no example that we can come with that will make us to see the how of the sifat of Allah. For this reason, the Shaykh says, وَبِهَذَا نَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَنْ أَنْكَرَ صِفَاتَ اللَّهِ أَنْكَرَهَا لِأَنَّهُ تَخَيَّلَ أَوَّلًا ثُمَّ قَالَ هَذَا التَّخَيُّلْ يَلْزَمْ أَوْ يُلْزَمْ مِنْهُ التَّمْثِيلُ ثُمَّ حَرَّفُوا. يعني, from this we came to know that whoever denied the sifat of Allah, they denied it because they first imagined what it's like. They tried to imagine what it's like. And then they said that which their imagination has come up with necessitates tamthil, that they make an example. Otherwise, how will they describe it? Except with an example of something that's in the creation, ثُمَّ حَرَّفُوا, and then, يعني, they distorted the meaning in order to make it applicable to something, to the example that they made in the creation. يعني, they imagined first, which necessitated them making an example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this caused them to distort, to twist, to corrupt the meaning of the sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason we say, the Shaykh says, إِنَّ كُلَّ معتل منكر للصفات. يعني every معتل, every person who does تعتيل, who يعني denies the صفة of any صفة of Allah. كل معتل ومنكر, يعني who rejects, who denies or rejects the صفات of Allah, every one of them, فإنهم ممثل سبق تمثيله تعتيله. فإنه ممثل سبق تمثيله تعتيله. يعني he is a ممثل, the person, every يعني معتل, every person who denies the صفات of Allah, he is first one who has made an example. He is one who has first made an example, a ممثل, who makes examples for Allah's sifat. And his making of the example, his tamthil, preceded his ta'til. His making examples preceded his negation. Meaning that when he made an example, this caused him yani, to distort and to reject and to negate the actual meaning of the sifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every ممثل, he's first doing tamthil, making examples for Allah's sifat, and then that leads him to doing ta'til, yani negating, rejecting yani the meaning of the sifa of Allah. مَثَّلَ أَوَّلًا وَعَتَّلَ ثَانِيًا. Yani he made tamthil first, and then he made ta'atil second. And the Shaykh closes by saying, this is we're going to stop. وَلَأَنَّهُ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ حَقَّ تَقْدِيرِهِ وَلَمْ يَتَعَرَّدْ لِتَخَيِّلْ صِفَاتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ مَحْتَجَّ إِلَى هَذَا الْإِنْكَارِ وَإِلَى هَذَا التَّعَتِيلِ. Yani if a person had given Allah his due right, يعني قدر الله حق تقديره, given Allah his due right, يعني see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept that the sifat of Allah are يعني divine characteristics that belong to يعني sifat ilahiyya, يعني sifat ilahiyya, they are not يعني sifat يعني insaniyya, يعني characteristics of the human being, but they are sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of the world. Whoever gave Allah his just due and didn't subject himself to trying to imagine the how of Allah's sifat, then they wouldn't have been in need of this inkar and this ta'atil, of the rejection of the reality of the meaning of Allah's sifat and the denial of those meanings. If they hadn't first what? Yani, if they had given Allah his just due and they hadn't tried to imagine or make comparisons or examples for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat, then they would have never fallen into the rejection and the denial of that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described himself with, or that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has described him with. Okay, this is the end of the subject that the Shaykh, the first point, bayan yani manhaj or tariqah ahli sunnah wal jama'ah concerning the names of Allah and his sifat. And this is a summary, a very brief summary of some of the points yani related to the way of ahli sunnah wal jama'ah related to the names of Allah and his sifat. As we said in the beginning, and this is a big topic, and books have been written about it. The Shaykh wrote his famous book, Al-Qawaid Al-Muthla, yani the exemplary principles, where he gives principles, very, very important principles related to the Asma of Allah, and he gave very important principles related to the Sifat of Allah, and I refer back to that book, and I suggest that we should read that book, and even if it's the first time you're reading this topic, it may be a little bit complicated, as one brother sent me an email today, this morning, or yesterday, I don't know, I lost track of the time. He said, the class is very great. He said, I love the new classes, but it's a little confusing. A bit confusing, I think he said. A bit confusing. SubhanAllah. I said, a bit confusing? He said, yeah, but after I listened to it the second time, then I saw it's beneficial. So maybe he understood it after that. I'm saying that sometimes, perhaps if this subject is new to somebody, we didn't read about it before. We didn't study it before. So some of these principles, some of these yani points, maybe a little bit difficult in the beginning, but don't give up because of the great importance of this subject, the importance of aqidah as being the foundation of Islam, the importance of tawheed as being the core of the Islamic aqidah, the importance of asma wa sifat because of their relation, because this topic is a topic that's specifically related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively. It's not related to anything except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What could be a more important or greater topic than that which is related to the names of Allah and His descriptions? Because of this importance, it's incumbent upon us, if we find any difficulty or any lack of clarity, to pursue it, to ask, to read, to yani reread, to reflect, yani to go to those who may be able to help us to make sure that we understand this. It's incumbent. There's no escape from it. We have to know this. Okay, from the principles of Asma, of the Asma of Allah that we, that the Shaykh mentions in his book. And I don't know if we have a couple of minutes. I just want to mention quickly some of the principles that we related to the names of Allah. Number one, that we heard today or that we may have seen in his book yesterday or in the previous lectures, the names of Allah, principles related to the names of Allah. Number one, that they are tawqifiyah. We said that they only come from the Quran and the Sunnah, right? And we could say the same thing about the sifat. Number two, that the names of Allah are all husna, that they are all yani beautiful, good names of perfection, and likewise his sifat, all yani sifat al kamal. And also that the names of Allah are all, they're all, we said that every name has a sifa. So all the names of Allah, Asma and Awsaf, they're all names and they're also all descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not so for the sifat. Yani some of the sifat are from his names and some of them are not. And also we said that from the names of Allah, we didn't mention it in the book, but we mentioned it last week in like review, that the names of Allah are not limited to 99. They are not limited to 99. And we also said that the names of Allah, are some of them are muta'addin and some of them are ghayru muta'addin, meaning some of them, the sifa that is derived from it, yani it has an effect on the creation, and some of them not so. As far as the sifat of Allah, we already said that what they are all tawqifi, only come from the Quran and Sunnah. And secondly, that they are all sifat al-kamal. They are all descriptions of perfection. And as far as their number, well, they are more than the names, right? Because every name has a sifa connected to it. And then there are, in addition to all of those names, every one of them having an equal number of sifat, then they are also sifat for which there is no name, right? So we know then, logically, even without knowing all the names of Allah, we know logically that the sifat of Allah are more than the names of Allah. And also, we said, we didn't say, but I'll say here that the Shaykh also mentioned a very important principle. Sifat of Allah are divided into two types. That is, as-sifat al-thubutiyah and as-sifat al-salbiyah. And the sifat that are affirmed for Allah and sifat that are negated from Allah. Yani Allah doesn't sleep, Allah doesn't die, Allah doesn't, and so on. Yani Allah has no weakness, yani He's not affected by whatever. Sifat thubutiyah that are affirmed for Allah. And we say that Allah ascended above the throne, He descended, Allah has a face, these are affirmed for Allah. And then there are sifat that are yani negated from Allah. And then the sifat that are affirmed for Allah, Shaykh said, they also divide in two categories, and they are a sifat al-dhatiyah and a sifat al-fi'liyah. A sifat al-dhatiyah and a sifat al-fi'liyah. Yani the sifat that are connected to Allah's that, permanent sifat of Allah that He always had, and sifat that are connected to His actions that He does whenever He wills. Yani connected to the Mashiach of Allah. These are some of the points that the Shaykh mentioned, yani in the book. So then, this is, yani, the intent is what? To make us say, wow, maybe some of this, I don't know. I need to go and read this book. That's the point. That if some of this we don't know, we need to read it. We need to study it, we need to learn it. This class is not intended to cover everything related to Asma wa Sifat. And we covered a lot of the areas related to Asma wa Sifat in a couple of years ago when we did the Iman Billahi from Alam al-Sunnah al-Manshura. Al-Imam al-Hakami. Yani a few years ago, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years ago, we covered the whole chapter dealing with Imam Billahi, and he covers a lot of issues related to the Asma of Allah and the Sifat. And then a lot of it is covered in, yani a good summary of the Asma and Sifat is found in the explanation of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen for Lumut al-Itiqad by Al-Imam Ibn Qadama. A summary of it, yani easy to read summary. Otherwise, if you go to Al-Aqidah al-Wasatiyah, yani I won't say that's a summary, but mashallah, beneficial, right? If you just want yani in one reading, then read the Qawaid al-Muthla that the Shaykh himself wrote. It's not an explanation of any book, it's his own explanation. I'm going to stop here. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Next week, inshallah, we're going to go back to the English translation. Yani it picks up again on page 18 or something like that. Yani related to the Minhaj of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah in reference to Ibadatullah, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.